you're able and willing, we invite you to stand with us as we seek him together. Let's pray. Our merciful God and our most loving Father, how we bless your name this night for the dear dying Lamb whose precious blood shall never lose its power until all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. And, O Lord, how we long for that day, free from sin, free from the darkness, free from the shadows. O Lord, to run free, to run in the free air of heaven, to run and to speak and to sit down upon the mount of God and to rehearse all of your mighty deeds throughout the ages. O Lord, how it stirs us to pant, to long to be there. And yet, O God, here we remain. Here we remain in this earthly house of this tabernacle. Lord, here we remain in the flesh, in this our earthly pilgrimage and warfare. And Lord, we confess to you that we continue to falter. Lord, our pace slackens. Lord, our hands droop and our knees grow weary and our feet begin to ache. Lord, we confess that we go astray from your paths. And Lord, that we are tempted to lay down our armor, that we are tempted to take up armor of our own making. We confess that our hearts go astray after idols, and that our minds are filled with those things that are abhorrent in your sight. O Lord, we ask that you would hear our confession, and O Lord, that you would forgive. Lord, hear your people, hear our cry as we lift our souls, as we lift our voice. Lord, as we look to you, the merciful one enthroned upon a holy throne, Lord, we look to you. And Lord, we would lean upon your merciful arm. And Lord, our ears would be bent once again to the word of promise. And oh Lord, we ask that as we cry out, as we pour out our confession to you, Lord, that you would hear, Lord, that your ear would be bent. Lord, that your eye would be open, that you would hear us and that you would forgive. Lord, that we would know the sweet, the cheering, the assuring sound of the gospel. Oh, Lord, that we would know that you are ours, that we are our beloveds, and that your desire is for us, not because of our own righteousness or works which we have done, but because of your own mercy. Oh, because of the righteousness and the purity and the holiness of your Son. Oh, Lord, are you not pleased with your Son? Lord, have you not looked upon your Son with delight and with favor? Oh, Lord, be pleased with us this night as we are found in union with him. And then, oh, Lord, we pray that by your Spirit that you would move us to walk in those paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, that we would not only be pardoned from sin, but Lord, that we would walk and that we would run in the ways of holiness. Lord, that by your Spirit you would cause your law to be written, inscribed upon our hearts, that we would delight in it. Oh Lord, that your law would be the delight of our soul. And to that end, O Lord, we wait upon you this night. And in your word, we place our hope. Oh, we pray, Lord, that you'll not only make your people pure and holy, Lord, we pray that you would bless the missionary advance of your church. Lord, that you would guard, that you would shield, that you would protect your people just as you did in the days of old. And we pray that you would do so again during this season of history. And Lord, we pray that you would raise up faithful witnesses. Lord, raise up faithful congregations. Lord, raise up faithful evangelists and pastors and fathers and mothers. Lord, would you raise up faithful souls who point with a straight finger to the glory of the Lord and are satisfied with nothing less than seeing the knowledge of the glory of the Lord cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Lord, we pray that our representatives and legislators and judges, Lord, that kings and princes would hear and that their knees would be bent, and that they would look away from themselves, that they would look to the one who reigns with a law that is unerring, unchanging, eternal in the heavens. Lord, we pray that you'd bless our missionaries and church planters, and Lord, that they would not yield to despair or discouragement, but rather, Lord, that they would be fueled with zeal from on high, with power from on high, with all the fullness of God. Lord, we pray that you would revive your church in the midst of the years and that you would cause your truth. Oh, would you cause your truth to be heard and embraced? Lord, let your church grow in holiness and purity and light. Lord, cause the Spirit to dwell within her as a mighty flame. Oh, Lord, would your light, would your favor, would your benediction rest upon your church? Would you reform her doctrine? Would you reform her pulpits? Would you reform her piety? Would you inflame her zeal, her longing, her burden to see the lost drawn to the risen Christ? Lord, we ask that you would do these things, that you would have regard for your great name. Lord, it is your name. Oh, Lord, there is no greater name. Lord Jesus, you have been given this name above all names, so that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that you, Lord Jesus, are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so we pray that you would use the means of grace, oh, that you would use the fellowship of the saints, that you would use the warmest and most fervent love between believers, or that you would use the proclamation of the truth, that you would use the rich, robust singing of praise. Lord, use all of these mighty, simple means to promote the glory of your great name. So, Holy Spirit, would you cause us to hear tonight? Would you shape and would you mold us after your will? That tonight we would be yielded and waiting and still before you. Give us a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. And would you satisfy the longing soul? And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now tonight our text will come from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll be looking tonight at verse 6, where Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Well, this is what Jesus says to souls who have been awakened to their spiritual poverty, to their bankruptcy of soul, and to those who recognize that they are completely poor in spirit and unable to pay what they owe. He pronounces these words of blessing to those who mourn, who mourn over their own sin, who mourn over their fallen nature, who mourn over their rebellion, who mourn over the effects of the fall. We are living in a world that, yes, it is beautiful and it is wonderful in many ways, but it is also tinged with the effects of the fall. And Jesus pronounces a blessing on those who are not only recognizing their spiritual poverty, but they also mourn over that poverty. He pronounces a blessing upon those who, with humility and with brokenness of spirit, yield to the truth. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. These are broken heirs. They are brokenhearted before the Lord. Their wills are bent to His truth, and they yield. Their hearts have been opened to attend, to pay attention, to have regard, to pay heed, to embrace the word of truth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And Jesus is pronouncing this blessing to those of you who confess your spiritual poverty, to those of you who mourn over sin and the effects of the fall, to those of you who yield in your spirit to the claims of the gospel, to the power of the truth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know that there is an appetite which could never be filled by the things of this world, this broken, fallen, sinful world. You know that there is an ache which could never be assuaged. There is a wound which could never be healed. Blessed are those who have a hunger and a thirst, and you know that that hunger and thirst could never be satisfied by the bread which the world offers. Your thirst could never be quenched by the water from the earth's wells. No, he points you to the living water. Here is this pronouncement of favor. All the Beatitudes, they are a pronouncement of blessing, that you are no longer cursed. It is a pronouncement of favor. Yes, you're brought into this world, and when you're brought in, you are under the sentence of death because you are the sons and daughters of Adam. But he is pronouncing blessing and favor, and that inside these walls of Christ, there is nothing but blessing. There is no more curse. There is no word of curse to be found in the ark of Christ. Outside of Christ, yes, there is the word of cursing and disfavor. There is estrangement. But y'all, inside Christ, there's nothing but blessing. Tonight I want you to hear of the longing and the filling. Now for just a few minutes, I want you to consider with me the longing of the human soul. When he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness," what is he saying? On the one hand, if you turn to Psalm 37, you know, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." It's a statement that's taken straight out of Psalm 37. If you and I were to read Psalm 37 this evening, we would read of righteousness being vindicated. That there is a righteous cause. And there is such a thing as a righteous cause being vindicated. And that vindication is coming. That vindication might be hidden, it might be buried beneath the soil for now, it might have dipped below the horizon, but there is coming a day when truth shall rise, that vindication will come for the righteous. So, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for vindication of a righteous cause, for they shall be filled. They'll be granted true justice. You could also think of righteousness in the sense of ethical righteousness or sanctification. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after holiness of life, sanctifying righteousness. We're going to visit that very issue when we look at his beatitude when he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So we're circling back to that concept of righteousness in just a couple of weeks. For tonight, I want us to track our thoughts along this notion, this truth, that we long for a justifying righteousness. Because we recognize our spiritual poverty, because we mourn over sin, because we have yielded to the truth of the gospel, we now hunger and we thirst for a justifying righteousness. Because we bow. We bow before the rightness. I'm not sure if that's a word or not. We bow before the rightness of the law. Because we've yielded, because we have meekly, humbly submitted to who He is and what He says, we now bow before the majesty and the holiness of law. We recognize there is such a thing as righteous law, righteous, unerring standard. And we also recognize, because we meekly bow before the truth of the gospel, we recognize that Christ, the prophet, priest, and king of the church, we recognize that Jesus has completely obeyed that law. So we bow before the completeness of the law and the completeness of the righteousness of Christ. And we can see from the purity of His walk, from the holiness of the life of Christ, we see the majesty and the purity of law. Scientists are able, I didn't realize this until the last couple of weeks, scientists are able to examine the elements that make up the stars that you'll see tonight. They can actually understand the elements which make up those stars, even though they are light years away. And you know how they do it? They analyze the light that shines from those stars. And by analyzing the different wavelengths and the type of light, the energy of light that is put forth, they can match the energy of the light that shines to a particular element. Y'all remember the periodic table? They can match a particular energy to the specific element that goes with that energy. And they can tell what is making up that particular star. They read the light that shines. You know, we read the light of the holiness of Christ, and we conclude, this is nothing less than the Son of God. This is nothing less than one who is perfectly divine, fully God and fully man. He is God manifest in the flesh. And so we bow. Now, every part of our souls, we bow before the righteousness of Christ. That's what the gospel is. Jesus, our curse, and Jesus, our righteousness. And so now we not only bow, you know, to hunger and thirst for righteousness is to also depend. We persistently depend upon this righteousness of Jesus. You and I are in desperate need of a righteousness, a legal standing that can never be shaken and can never be altered and is not dependent on our emotional state or spiritual walk or behaviors that measure up. We need a legal standing that is dependent upon nothing less than a righteousness that is divine. And so we not only bow before the righteousness of Christ, we persistently depend. You might have become a Christian 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and you continue to depend upon the righteousness of Christ for your perfect acceptance before God. It is still your song to sing, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked I come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die." That is still your song. You continue to sing, "Not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what my toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears could bear my awful load." You hunger and thirst for a righteousness that is not your own and could never be provided by your hand. And so you lean. You lean upon the righteous arm of Christ. And you long for that day when, dressed in His righteousness alone, you are faultless to stand before the throne. So you bow before the completeness of Christ's obedience. You depend, every fiber of your being depends upon that complete obedience for your acceptance with God. And because of your joy, because of the sheer joy which this sparks in your soul, you now seek to reflect that righteousness of Christ. His beauty, His righteousness, His legal standing, it is now enshrined in your own soul. And this so overwhelms you with the joy of the Lord that you now, what do? You seek to reflect His righteousness. I mean, y'all, you pick one of these October mornings and you go out in the morning and you notice those beads of dew that alight upon the grass, and you just watch as the sun rises on that field, and you just watch as that dew shimmers with the light of the rising sun. You just watch. Y'all, is that not what the Christian does? That the light of Christ has shone into our hearts. That the light of the gospel has shone. And now what do we seek to do? We seek to reflect. We have such a joy in this complete obedience of Christ. We have been overwhelmed by this righteousness of Christ. And now we hunger and we thirst to reflect that righteousness. I know we're coming back to the sanctification point in just a couple of weeks, but just take this note that we seek to reflect, just as the dew reflects the light of the morning. You and I seek to shimmer that light of Christ. And oh, that He would make His church to be beautiful in His sight and in the sight of a watching world. Now why? Why is it that you and I have this longing? Why is it that we bow before this complete righteousness of Christ? Why is it that we lean upon His complete, perfect standing? And why is it that we seek to reflect that righteousness? Why? Is it not because we sense, we ache for the one who is absent? That we ache under our spiritual estrangement from Him. And we know that there is a relational bar. We recognize, we know it deep down. We know that there is a relational distance between us and this righteous God. And we know that as long as there is that relational bar, as long as there is this relational distance, there could be no fellowship, no communication, no enjoyment, no peace. Why is it that we hunger and thirst for righteousness? It is because we hunger and we thirst for God Himself. And we know that as long as this guilt is in place, He cannot look upon sin. You feel it in your human relations as well, don't you? That when there is distance, there's weirdness. You feel the weirdness between yourself and the Holy One of Heaven. And you seek the distance to be closed. Why did Jesus give Himself the just for the unjust? Peter says in 1 Peter 3. The just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. That's who you're longing for. All of your desires, all of your hungers, all of your thirsts, all of your longings, it's all traced back to a longing for God. And there is a filling. There is a longing for Him. And you see that as we bow before His righteousness, as we lean upon the righteousness of Christ, as we seek to reflect Him. We do all those things because we're hungry for Him. But there's also a filling. Oh, Jesus is pronouncing this sweetest of blessings upon you. Y'all, this is the gospel. This is the gospel according to Jesus. This is the gospel according to Jeremiah. You read Jeremiah 31 and you read that He will satisfy the longing soul. You read that this evening. There's a lot in Jeremiah 31. You go scan over it tonight. He will satisfy the longing soul. How does He satisfy your longing soul? Look at this. Look at verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Oh, for those who are looking to Christ alone, leaning upon His righteousness, dressed in His righteousness alone, nothing in their hand, righteousness is yours. Joshua has a change of garments in Zechariah chapter 3. Satan, the accuser, stands at his right hand and accuses him. And there is a change of garments. And he's pronounced righteous. Oh, has He not clothed you with the garments of salvation? Has He not covered you with the robe of righteousness? Just as a bridegroom would be decked with ornaments, just as a bride would be jeweled, so too you have been draped in the spotless, beautiful, and holy robes of Christ. Is that not what brings you joy this night, that he has looked upon you? He has looked, and despite what your hands have done, let alone because of what your hands have done, despite what your hands have done, He has spread His garment over you as your kinsman redeemer. Righteousness is yours. And the Apostle Paul says to the Philippians, this is a righteousness not of my own. It is a righteousness which comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He counts everything as loss for the sake of knowing Christ, the supremacy, the surpassing joy of knowing this Jesus. Righteousness is yours. The Savior is yours. You look to this Shepherd, you look to this Shepherd King, you look to this heavenly bridegroom, and he is your beloved. This is your beloved, and you belong to him, and he belongs to you. And there is this covenant bond. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, who bow before the completeness of his obedience, who lean upon his perfect record. And who, oh, they trust, they cast all of their trust upon his holy arm. Why are they blessed? Because the Savior belongs to them. Christ is yours. Despite yourself, the Savior is yours. And you are in union, in communion with a most kind, most loving, most truthful, most holy, loving Redeemer. This is my beloved, the bride says, and this is my friend. Is he your beloved? Is he your friend? Wonder is yours. The gospel of Jesus and his righteousness, it produces the deepest, most profound wonder. How could God be just and the justifier of the wicked? How could God look upon a soul, Lord, who am I that I should be given a seat at your table? It produces wonder. Just as right-minded scientists will behold that light streaming from the stars and be able to analyze and trace it back. And just as they will stand in wonder. Oh, you study the composition of an atom. Oh, the wonder, the sheer wonder. Y'all, wonder is yours. As you behold this complete righteousness of Jesus, it shimmers. His righteousness, it is hung up on the walls of heaven. And it evokes this deepest, most profound wonder. Righteousness is yours. The Savior is yours. Wonder is yours. New life is yours. When you grasp that you have been loved at the deepest possible level, that your most aching hunger and most painful thirst has been satisfied. Oh, y'all, it sweetens your praying. It sweetens your love. It sweetens your words. It ennobles your walk. It stabilizes your soul. And we go in and out, don't we? We go in and out of that joy. On this side of glory, that joy will always be imperfect, and it will always have starts and stops. On this side of glory, that filling, sometimes we will experience the filling, and other times we will feel like we are in the midst of a drought. But even if you're in the midst of the most parched drought and painful famine, you have been blessed nonetheless, and you still remain safe in the arms of a righteous, merciful God. Just as our brother Gary said several weeks ago, speaking in Sunday school, describing the architecture of this room, I never knew what the word nave meant. You're sitting in the nave. You're sitting in the ark. You're sitting safe in the arms of Christ. And one day you will be given a most satisfying vision. You will be given a vision of the glory of the Lord, which will never fade, which will never, ever seem distant. One day you and I will behold together the face of our risen and ascended Lord, and we will feast. We will feast in the house of the Lord. We will feast on the mountain of the Lord. We will feast together, and we will drink. We will drink deeply, and our souls will enjoy an eternal satisfaction, a satisfaction which will never disappoint. Do you have that longing? Do you have that longing for God, that hunger and thirst for God this night? Even if your appetite's a little low, you are hearing this for a reason. And He is the God who promises to satisfy and to fill. Righteousness is yours. The Savior is yours. Wonder that increases your love is yours. New life can begin now. Eternity begins now. And oh, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and for you shall be filled. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God, we bow before the majesty of your throne. And Lord, we recognize the rightness and even the beauty of your law, the completeness of the righteousness of Christ. And Lord, we would lean upon your holy arm, your justifying arm. Lord, we would be brought to God this night. Lord, we would hear tonight the word of pardon, the word of assurance that our sins, though they be many, are now forgiven due to the righteousness of Christ. Lord, give us to go home this night joyful and glad of heart for all the deeds you have done, that righteousness is ours, that the Savior is ours, that we now stand in wonder, and that this new life has been given. Blessed be you, O Lord, the God of our fathers. And Lord, for you never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, incline our hearts unto you that we might walk in your ways and keep your commandments and your statutes. Lord, ever remind us that not one word of your promises will ever fail. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.